Welcome to the podcast, guys. Happy Saturday. And today, just before we even get into the show, I just want to take us to Russia.
Yavol. Is that a thing?
I think that's German, but...
Tomato.
It may also be a Russian word.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yavol, Herr Kapitan.
Very good. Comrade.
Vodka, comrades. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're in Russia, guys, because Russia is claiming that Venus is a Russian planet, says Russia. So the head of the Russia Space Agency says that Venus is the Russian planet after a British researcher discovered traces of chemicals that suggested the presence of life on the second planet from the sun.
God, I thought you meant you were going to say Russian chemicals. I was like, how'd they get there?
Yeah, yeah. That would have been quite impressive.
So they found life on Venus and Russia wants the aliens.
Well, Russia's claiming it's them. Russia's like, well, so if there's life on Venus, you know it's us. No one else is capable of that.
Oh, they think it's like Russian humans.
Yeah,
they're not
yeah.
just going, those aliens, they're Russian citizens now.
Yeah.
They need to vote.
Director General Dmitry Rogentsev said on Tuesday that the Soviet Union was the first country to send a probe. What's with probing lately?
No, not what's with probing lately. What's with you bringing up?
Maybe it's me that was there. Oh, the Russians probed me deep and I went to Venus. It's always going to be deep, doesn't it? It can't
be
a light
like
probe.
I don't know. They probed you that deep, you went into outer space?
Yes.
Oh. Like a slingshot?
It was like, here we go, just me hard, but...
Oh,
felt
oh,
a bit
no.
good.
Too hard. He went into space.
No, don't do it again. There's no time, but do it again.
The only thing I can think of is that Vladimir Putin seems to have superpowers, right? Based on his PR.
Yeah.
Maybe he just rode a horse to Venus and then he went and stuck his flag in the ground.
Yes.
He's just like, this is for Mother Russia.
And
this
dripped some chemicals.
Yeah.
And he would have had no shirt and no face mask.
And a bear.
Yeah, and a bear. This is for the motherland.
In outer space, he can breathe no oxygen.
Totally.
And then he just had me. I was with him, but he had me on his finger, and I was just like, he was just right up me date.
Oh my God, like an ushi.
Yeah. Like an ushi on a pencil. And I'm just his little pencil. And he's like, tuck on, we're gone now. I'm like, whatever you say, Vladimir.
And then he posted you on eBay. $1.50 for the duck ushi.
And then he threw me away, and that's how I ended up in Australia. So that is a wild
ride.
He just
launched you, and you landed on a whole other continent.
Yeah.
You bring up your butt so much. You should be embarrassed.
It's me, Jess and Ducker. Thanks for listening to the podcast.
Imagine having the title Britain's Dullest Man.
Britain's as well.
Britain. But having given yourself that title, I mean, I'm a little higher, bruh.
Got to be a virgin for sure.
Mate, his name's Kevin. He does look like a sweetheart. Yeah. He is 68 years old and he's dubbed himself as Britain's dullest man because he's obsessed with roundabouts.
Oh, God. Oh,
and he has spent the last 17 years travelling his home country and the surrounds looking for the best roundabout.
Oh, interesting. What makes the best roundabout?
Well, most aesthetically pleasing, most easy to navigate, you know, fewest crashes. That sort of thing. And he's written a book.
Oh, on roundabouts?
He's written a book
What's his name?
His name's Kevin Beresford.
Okay.
Kevin. Hello, Kevin. I like roundabouts.
His other works include a calendar of car parks.
Yeah.
Car parks of Britain.
Oh, man.
Is he married? Does he have kids? Anyone?
Oh, look,
let's hope that family line doesn't continue.
You know, sometimes it usually says, like, mum of two, marries a tree. This has just said Britain's dullest man, so I'm assuming he's alone.
Well, he'd hate Newcastle as well, because famously we love four-way stop signs.
Not many roundabouts.
And can I just say, Kevin, that coming from a guy who loves alphabetizing his herbs, you're boring.
What? What do you love, sorry? Can you go again?
Alphabetizing herbs
now
so
in English?
You can find them more easily. Put them in alphabetical order.
In your pantry.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
But do you alphabetize by, like, paprika or smoked paprika? So is it S or
so
P?
So P would be under... Smoked paprika would be under the P category.
But ground paprika would be before smoke because it's G.
Yeah. But plain paprika would be before all of them.
Of course.
Because there's no letter. But I would picture it mentally as paprika, comma, smoked.
How many herbs do you reckon you're rolling with in the Gill household?
Oh, I reckon excess of 40. But it's tough.
40
because
herbs?
40 herbs!
Can't display them all, mate, so then I go alphabet, and then they're four deep, but then I go on priority basis.
Yeah, of course.
Oh, so if you're using paprika often, P would be very far back in your 40s.
So marjoram would be ahead of nutmeg, right?
So true, but, mate. But if it's in, I wish I had both those in my cupboard, you know?
But if
wish
it's in, go-to. In the row, I'm using nutmeg a lot more than majoram. So,
How often are you using nutmeg?
And majoram. And like, who has 40 herbs in the house? Just get mixed herbs, mate. That's why I use mixed herbs.
100%. It's got everything in it. One container. And it has fresh herbs in the garden as well. What are you doing, MasterChef?
That is the way to make any meal sing, guys.
Oh, my God. And also, while we're onto Nick being boring, are you still putting boats in bottles? Are you still in that craze?
The kits are still being delivered, but with COVID, they've been quite delayed.
Okay, yes. Yeah. Yes.
When are you guys coming around for that day?
So, can't wait. Lock me in.
Yeah. I was going to say we'll bring our own herbs, but we don't need to.
I've got them covered, guys.
Do you ever go to make a recipe and there's a herb you don't have? And
Yes.
Oh, my God.
But then sometimes, because of my ranking system, I've really blown it. So, I'll think I don't have turmeric, and then I go out and buy some, and then all of a sudden I've got two, and it's thrown out my alphabetization because now I've got two of them.
Is that a bit funny?
You had an odd number, you know.
Do you call your wife, Georgette, and go, oh my God, Georgette, we got two now?
Like, and she just loses it.
Yeah. We are so classic. Tell the guys on radio.
Too funny.
It's Nick Jessendacco. Thanks for listening to the podcast.
Do you guys remember the story, Three Billy Goats Gruff?
Yes, I do. I don't remember how it goes, but I remember the name.
Sounds familiar.
Billy Goat. No, that's
was his name Gruff?
No, I think the Gruff was an area.
Oh, Gruff's an area.
But I think it's the Troll Under the Bridge story.
Yes.
So I haven't read this since I was a kid, right? But I've got 3-year-olds now, so I started reading it to my kids. And I think it's fundamentally flawed. So what
aren't all those old stories?
Yeah, I know.
Either racist, sexist, homophobic. Yeah.
You have to think the people that made them were on some form of drug. You know what I mean? They're always so out there.
Tripping.
But this one just like a movie I think sets up really well. Like I suppose the struggle or the tensity or the fear or something really well, and you really want them to either get over that, but you don't know how they're going to do it. Right. Reading this book. There's like this hunched sort of troll and it's underneath the bridge and it's going, hey, you've got to pay a toll to be able to get across this bridge, right? Mm.
To the goats?
No, to the guys who want to get across the bridge.
Oh, yeah.
The thing is that first it's like a troll. He doesn't seem that fit.
Yeah.
He's underneath the bridge. I've seen the illustrations of the bridge and he's on the bank. He would have to go like wide and then clamber up the bank and then get to the other side of the bridge. And then if I was in that case, all I'm saying is I would just run.
So when's he stopping them though?
He's like, stopping them at the start of the bridge and he's just like, ah, you've got to pay the toll. But he's saying this from under the bridge.
Oh. He's just yelling.
Yeah, he hasn't.
Has he got the tin can set up? Like, pick up a can.
Yeah. I'll talk through.
Yeah.
He hasn't jumped up and gone, ha, I've got a spear.
Yeah.
You can't get past until you pay this toll. He's just yelling from under the bridge. I'll just be like, nah, bro.
But maybe that's the mystery. You don't see him, but you hear this voice and you go, okay, this guy's saying it from under there. If he thinks he has the time to get up and get me, he must be good. Do you know what I mean?
It's psychological warfare.
It's the illusion. Yes.
Why? Where's the goats come into it?
Well, it's just the name of the Gruff.
Yeah.
Three Billy Goats Gruff.
So it's like, you know, Lemon Tree Passage. I don't know if lemon trees are walking around.
Hmm.
I genuinely thought the whole story was about goats. There's no goats.
Well,
isn't the goats trying to cross the bridge? Or is it nothing to do with goats?
I think the guy maybe has some goats.
Well, that story's
wrong. The troll has goats.
The troll might have goats.
Why would they lie to us like that?
Why put it in the title?
Yeah.
Very confused. The whole thing is flawed.
They could have just called it Troll Under the Bridge. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
That's what everyone remembers.
Yeah.
Even if they made a giant error there.
Yeah.
In like overestimating the troll.
Do you read it to your kids and you're like, oh, sorry, Otis Harrow, I got to stop. This is
as
flawed.
As if he wouldn't redo and re-edit. And all that, yeah. You put your own little twist on
it
to make it more factually correct.
Yeah, absolutely. We do a bit of live editing. And do you
change like the characters? So you're like, if there's someone you hate in your life or there's someone who's a bit mean, like pretend, right? And you're like reading, you're like, oh no, Uncle Dave's under the bridge, Otis. And he's like, oh, Uncle Dave's a bad man. And you know, you can.
Yeah. There's some scenes in books that we have added names to. And
that previously did not have names.
Did not have names. And they're jokes with just Georgette and I. And you'll just say them a bit louder because we're not in the same room at the same time normally. Just one of us put the kids down. But it's very funny just between us.
Yeah.
It's very good.
Bit of gear.
Aren't you worried it's going to sink into your kid's head?
And they go, Daddy, you said Uncle Ducko was under the bridge.
Yeah.
What was he talking about?
Like they repeat.
No, it's not people that the kids would know. Okay. I'd never do you guys because they talk about you guys more than us.
Yeah. They love us.
Yay, yeah. That's made my day.
And they can identify your voices now, and then they wonder why now Sophie never talks.
Oh, really?
Oh, of course.
Now that Sophie's come around and met them, she's like, why is Sophie no talking?
How do you explain that you have a slave?
Yeah,
just like that.
Well, what's the kid version for she's our slave?
Like, yeah.
Have they heard her speak? I don't.
Yeah, how did mute slave. Yeah.
She can hear us right now.
Yeah. She's walking off.
Our minion.
Come back.
Our minion. Yeah. I just go, you know when you throw food on the floor and demand me to pick it up?
Guys, I have one of them at
work. Yeah, we got one of those too. What goes around comes around.
What a role model.